If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. This verse obviously is a familiar verse, and we all should have that and have this one down, probably have it memorized. But it's a good verse to start off 2017 with. As we're looking forward towards the future, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Everybody say plans. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got plans for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And what kind of plans are they? Plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Have you ever seen a master craftsman at work? Maybe a sculpture, maybe a painting, a carving of some sort. And you ever, I mean, or someone like me, they take this rock, they chisel it out and make this something beautiful out of it. I mean, all creativity and craftsmanship comes from God. He's the author of it. And so he has spent eternity crafting a plan, an amazing plan for your life. Think about that. Meticulous, down to the detail. Every part of your life, he's planned it. And it's a good plan. And so in 2017, all of it's not going to happen, but part of it's going to happen. And it's going to be good. It's going to be something desirable. It's something that we want in our lives. So we need to know this as we're starting off this year, because I don't know how the plan went last year. How'd the plan go last year? Good or bad or in between? I mean, I've heard some really rough reports. But he's got a good plan for us in 2017, and so we're going to need some revelation of that plan, because we need to know what the plan is, what part of the plan in 2017, what's the next step or steps, how do we implement the plan? Well, Proverbs 3 has some good pointers for us as we talk about God's plan for our lives. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He wants to direct you. He wants to guide you. He wants to lead you in this plan. But look what it says. Lean not to your own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. That means that you can have your own understanding, that there's God's understanding, God's way of doing things, God's plans, but then there's our own thinking, our own plans, our own ways. And he says here to trust in him, to look to him, and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own ideas. Don't lean on old information. Don't lean on old reasoning. This is not going to get you into God's plan for you in 2017. Now let me ask you, your own reasoning, your own thinking, and your own ways, where has it gotten you in the past? None of us like this verse, and I didn't give it to the guys up there, but Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So there's a way that seems right to us, like just doing the thing we've always done, or doing the thing that our parents told us to do, or doing the things that, you know, we think, yeah, this is what we should do. And it seems right to us, but it's a deception because it's going the wrong way, and it's not leading to life, it's leading to death. I don't want to do that in 2017. I don't want to do my own thing. I don't want to just sit down and write some resolutions, save more money, lose weight, work out more, read 50 books. I'm not going to do that this year. I want to get the plan from God and follow that plan all the way to the end of 2017. And so I don't think it's any coincidence we're doing this 21 days of prayer. I don't think it's just, you know, something we're just doing or we're going to try this. I think it's God's perfect will for us at Good News Church to do this together right now at this time. He wants to show us some things and show us some things about 2017. And then I mentioned it the first Sunday of the year about not living with any regret is, you know, let's write down some Spirit-led commitments. Spirit-led commitments. Isn't that better than our own resolutions? All right. So we need his understanding. How are we going to get that? Let's look at Romans 12. Romans 12. That message from Pastor Susie on Sunday was amazing. I would recommend if you're watching by live streaming, go back to the archive. If you weren't here, go back and watch it again. I'd watch it several times. Listen to the podcast. Some really good things. That was one of those messages that was like a deeper message. And in some churches, it wouldn't have fit with the fluffy Christianity, but it fit Good News Church. And I 100% endorse it, everything that happened Sunday. So I liked it. It was really, really ministered to me. Romans 12, verse 1, amplified. This is a good, beginning of the year verse. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, wholly devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. Transformed. Be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. I like that, new attitude. We need a new attitude in 2017. So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. In this, in these verses, it talks about your mind. And, you know, I'm not pronouncing it right. The word nous in the Greek, nous, not pronouncing it right, but anyway. This word can be translated mind, or it can be translated understanding. It's used, either one of those words is used in the New Testament. Mind. What do we know about the mind? The mind is part of the soul. We have the spirit, which is the part of us that's recreated. The soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and then the body, right? And so we are a spirit being. This body is our earth suit that covers us. And then we have a soul. But a big part of the soul is the mind. And in your mind, you want understanding. You want to be able to understand things. But the mind is the highest, listen now, the mind is the highest natural faculty of our being. The mind is the most important natural part of our body and our soul. And the reason being is it's the part of the soul that perceives divine things. So the mind, it's the part of the soul that perceives divine things. It recognizes good and evil. The mind is where, in this natural realm, where we get God's counsel, We get His thoughts. We get His purposes. It's in our mind where we have understanding of God's will for our lives. So we can have our spirits recreated, our spirits alive to God, but if our mind is not renewed, then we can't apply all the benefits that we have in Christ. We can't apply in this natural realm our inheritance if our mind is not transformed. It's got to be renovated. Now, some of it's easy, some of it's hard to renovate. There's things in there that are surface that can be easily moved out. Other things, it's going to take some effort. Now, we had our courtyard done some time back, and there was a bunch of concrete in there. Remember that, Tony? And that, you know, so there's some things you could just rake it up. There was, you know, some things you could just haul out of there, some dirt we just took out of there. There were some roots from some trees. Now, that was some hard work. I don't know who was on that crew. That was another hard job to do that. But, I mean, they had to jackhammer and what else? Just sledgehammers? I don't know. Just this concrete. I don't know why it was so thick in that courtyard. And then, I mean, Tony, I mean, I came by and saw you guys. I just felt so bad. All those that were working in there, hauling that stuff off. I mean, they were doing some serious renovating in there. That was a lot. That was some hard work. Some things are easy. Some things are hard. And that's the way it is with our mind. And it has to be renewed. And what we want to happen is we want our soul, our mind, to catch up with our spirit. You know, beloved, I pray above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You want your soul to prosper, to catch up with your spirit. And if you can have your soul and your spirit in line with the Holy Spirit, then you're going to have some really amazing things happen, because spiritual things are going to start coming alive in this natural realm. The soul's the connector between the spirit realm and the natural realm. It's got to be cleaned out. It's like, say if you look at a pipe, if that pipe's clogged, the things can't get through. And if the soul is with sin and junk and evil and wrong thoughts and wrong patterns and all these different things, if that pipe, you know, just a... You ever cleaned out a drain, maybe in your bathroom? There's some junk in there. But the water can't go through. It can't go through until it's cleaned out. So we need to get our minds renewed. We need to get our minds transformed. It is pretty important for that to happen. Let's look at how important it is over in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 5. Is this too deep for you on Wednesday night? Romans 8, verse 5. I like the terminology here. It really, really kind of helps me see some things. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So you can be a believer and have a carnal mind. You can be, and so, you know, and so that brings death. And it goes on to say that it's an enemy of God. So you can be born again, you can be spirit-filled, you can be going to church, but have a mind that's a carnal mind. What you want here is a spirit-led mind or a spirit mind. So there's a flesh mind and there's a spirit mind. And the spirit mind says here, I like what it says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the renewing of our mind just doesn't happen when we're born again and we do it for a couple years or a few months and then everything's okay. I mean, there's a constant renewing of your mind, and because as we go along, it can collect some more junk. I've known some people that have been walking with God and did some amazing things for the kingdom of God, but have just gone backwards. Had really even gone back into a carnal mind where they're doing things you wouldn't believe what they're doing. I'm not talking about people that are lost. I'm talking about believers. So this is something we all need to be aware of. We need to be thinking of the renewing of our mind. We need, each one of us, need to be thinking, how is that going? How is the transformation of your mind going? I can see the fruit of it. I can hear your words, but only you and God really know. So how are we going to renew our minds? And these are all the obvious things that we always talk about, but it bears repeating tonight. One of the first things that we're going to need to renew our minds with is the Word. Look over in Hebrews 4. Man, this is so good. Hebrews 4. And I want to read this to you in Amplified, and it makes the verse a lot longer, but there's just some really good stuff here. Hebrews 4, verse 12, this is Amplified. For the word of God, for the word that God speaks is alive. And it's full of power. So that's pretty good right there. Making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So the Word of God, what does it do? I mean, it comes into your soul with power. It comes into your soul and it cleans things out. It comes in there and lays a foundation. It brings truth. It brings light. It brings revelation. It brings understanding. It brings God's thoughts. It brings wisdom. It's full of energy. It's full of life. And so I just want to encourage you, as we're talking about the beginning of this year, do what you can to get the Word in your heart. Do what you can to listen to the Word. You know, let me ask you, if you have an hour of the Word a week and 15 hours of TV, which for many people is a lot more than that, let me ask you, what's having more influence? Let me ask you then, that TV, what kind of influence is that having on your mind, especially if it's a lot of murder and drugs and sex and all these different things? So we got hour of the Word, and most of the time we're falling asleep and bored and not really getting anything out of it. And let me ask you, if you're reading it and you're not getting anything out of it, is it really transforming your mind? And then that TV program, it's coming in there, and you're just sitting there, and like for most men, I mean, you can't even talk to a man when he's watching TV. Women can multitask. Men, I mean, we're focused. We are locked in. It's just coming in there, coming in your mind. You're just wide open. Television is telling you its vision. So we need to change that. I watch TV. I don't have a problem with that. But how about the Word, which is a lot more important? Put that back up there, Hebrews 4. This is what it's doing. This is not me saying that. It's going in there and dividing the soul and the spirit. It's bringing life. It's bringing cleansing. It's transforming. It judges the truth. It judges your thoughts. cleans it out, renovates it. Now, if hearing the word and listening to the word and studying the word, that's like, when you're doing the dishes and you got a kind of a easier thing to clean, you know, you just might have to wipe it, you know, a couple times and rinse it off. But let's say you want to go do a little more serious renovation, like what Tony was doing, what those guys were doing in the courtyard where they got the jackhammers. Now you want to do a little more serious renovation, then you got to go to Joshua 1. And the comparison with the dishes, because a lot of women, this will help with the dishes. This is like soaking. You got that pot that just, you just can't scrub it. You're going to have to soak it. Joshua 1 is about soaking. Soak in your mind. Joshua 1, verse 8, amplified. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. Meditation means to think on something over and over. It means to chew on it. It means to mull it over, to let it just, you know, the cleansing cycle, let it just continue to run over your mind. And this is where you can take, like, you know, and why would you have to meditate in a particular area? Let's just say you've got an area that's just been harassing you, bothering you, hanging on, won't go away. We're going to need some meditation. And this is where you can get like 4 or 5 scriptures, put them on note cards, every day go over them, every day be thinking about them, every day be speaking them, and let it just get in there and let it start soaking and let it get into those ugly, nasty, hard to get to stains. I mean, you can do meditate, that's a good thing to do right before you go to sleep. A couple scriptures, maybe that scripture, the main scripture for your day, instead of just all the problems, all the things you're worried about, how about a scripture? Who's got a good scripture that they're meditating on? Anybody? Who's got one? Huh? You got one, Mike? That's a good verse, Mike. That means a lot to you right now. Who else has got one? I guess this is the right message for 2017 here. Natalie, what's a good verse? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I like what the Amplified says about that one. It healed of all infirmities. Good. Who else? 23rd Psalm. What can you quote me out of 23rd Psalm, James? Just, you don't have to have it all perfect. Just love Psalm 23. Woo! So many good things in there. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, there's just a whole, I mean, that would be a good one. But I'm just saying, all this other stuff is not helping any. It's not doing you any good, all that other stuff. Now, I saved this last one for last. There's other things as far as renewing your mind, but let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. Meditation is like squeezing a lemon and getting all the juice out of it. But 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, says this, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." God wants us to understand things. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit is there when you're born again. No man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. But when you're baptized, that means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills you up to overflowing and then comes on you for ministry. The evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Now, this is different than the 9 spiritual gifts found in Corinthians. There's a tongue and interpretation in the 9 spiritual gifts. But this is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, where you can activate it at your will. Whereas the gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills, based on the situation. But praying in tongues, for those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do that anytime. I can do it right now. I can go into Walmart and just start screaming in tongues. I'm not going to do that. They may throw you out. But it says, I will. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Every believer, not just for a minister and not just for someone that likes to win souls. It's for every believer. You need that. You need that equipment to do what God's called you to do. But so Paul, and Paul said on down, he said, "I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all." He was Southern. He was a Southerner. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Paul had the most revelation of any man besides Jesus. The revelation that he had. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying in an unknown tongue, an unknown language, sounds like gibberish. It's the Holy Spirit with your spirit praying through you. And the Bible says, praying the perfect will of God. So you are speaking a heavenly, divine language. You're speaking mysteries, divine secrets. You're speaking divine things. Isn't that amazing? You're speaking God words. It's a pretty supernatural thing, and we still don't understand a lot of things. But what Paul is saying here is, it's good to pray in the Spirit, and we need to pray in the Spirit, but we need to have our minds to be fruitful, and our minds to have understanding. We need our minds renewed. We need revelation to our mind. Because that's the connection to this natural realm. If I don't have it in my mind, I can't do it here in the earth. So I've learned when I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'll not just when I'm praying in the Spirit, but I'll say it all the time, talking about the mind of Christ or God, you know, knowing God's will. But even today when I was praying in the Spirit back during prayer time, I said this. I said, "Lord, Help me to interpret back to my mind so my mind will have understanding. Now, I don't know the things that I'm getting in English words. That's the language that I speak, hopefully. I don't know if I'm interpreting words I've just spoke or words that are from before. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. And so when I'm praying, I'll often stop and then I'll start speaking out in English. I'll pray in the Spirit. Then I'll start speaking in English what's coming up from my spirit in English. And I'll pray those things out and speak them out. And then when they're run its course, then I'll go back to praying in tongues. He's giving me things to speak out. He's doing that for my benefit. I don't need, you know, I could, you know, edification-wise, I could just continue to pray in the Spirit. But then he's going to bring understanding and revelation of things that you need for your life. For example, who should I marry? What job should I take? What do I need to do today? A whole lot of things that people struggle with. And the thing that I've learned about God is God wants you to know things. God wants you to have understanding. God wants to reveal to you divine secrets. He wants to reveal to you. Yeah, now we don't need to know all the things we're praying about. We may be praying about some situation over in some other country, and it wouldn't do us any good even if we knew. I mean, a lot of things can happen during that prayer time. I mean, you can almost tell sometimes something different here. But I want to encourage you in 2017, I want to encourage you, come to these times of prayer. If you can't come here, do it at home. Spend time praying in tongues. Spend time praying in the Spirit. Now, how long should you spend? I don't know. I mean, you know, we've been working out with a trainer. And, I mean, I used to work out for an hour and not be sore. Meaning I was a lousy workout. So worked out for an hour, thought I was really doing something. A little bit of sweat, but wasn't sore the next day. Then with the trainer, work out a half an hour, he kicks our butt. I'm sore everywhere. I'm sore in places I didn't even know there was muscles there. So I don't know the amount of time. That's between you and God. I don't want to say an hour. I don't want to say 10 minutes. I mean, first of all, it's better to do 5 minutes than nothing. We're doing an hour is good. But there may be times you may need to do it over an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
I've done extended times like that, and phenomenal things happen. But I just want to encourage you, and you think, well, I've just never done that before. Well, who do you want something different this year? I went to 16 of Brother Hagin's Holy Ghost meetings, week-long meetings. I think one meeting we even went for 2 weeks. Meetings in the morning, meeting at night. The morning meetings we'd have, there'd be teaching, there'd be prayer. But every single one of them, all 16 of them, the main thing I got when I came back is praying tongues more. Just spent thousands of dollars, haul my family somewhere, all the things we did. And I learned a lot of good things. I mean, it was pastoral training. But the number one thing I learned and said to Susie, and she said to me, is we need to pray in tongues more. If you want something different, you're going to have to do something different. You know, leaning to your own understanding is not getting you anywhere. Doing the same old thing is not going to take you to where God's leading you to go. So we're going to need His understanding. It comes from the Word. But it's the Word in the Spirit. And I would say, you know, you're only going to progress so much by just studying the Word. You're going to develop and mature more by praying in the Spirit as well. So when I'm praying, when I was back here in the first time, I'm shutting out my world that's around me, and I'm focusing on God, and I begin to pray in tongues, and it comes from in here. The Bible calls it, your belly, your spirit man is. And so I'm focused there. I'm not focused here on my mind, or I'm not focused on someone else. I'm focused right here where the Spirit of God is and my spirit is, and I'm focusing on there and speaking out those words in the Spirit that come from the inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit and my spirit working together. Now I have to initiate it, and I'm just focusing on God, speaking it out. And then, a lot of times you come in and your mind's got all these things, and then I'm kind of waiting for my mind to quiet down where I have no thoughts in English. You can do that. Just peace, no thoughts. Nothing about bills, nothing about my kids, nothing about our marriage, nothing about the church, nothing about anything. It's just peace. Sometimes it takes longer to do that than others. But then as my mind has gotten quiet, then words, English words may start coming. And they come from in here. They don't come here. They come from in here. And those will be things I'll start praying. Today I was praying just about light and praying about revelation and praying about understanding, the very things we're talking about tonight. And I was just giving voice in my language what I hear on the inside. But then now as I go through my day, I'm trusting God to speak to me about the church. I'm trusting God to speak to me about things about our family and other ministries that I'm involved in and all that. And I'm trusting Him. It says trust in the Lord. But you don't, the Spirit of God is working in that, in your mind. When you pray in tongues, you're going to be more sensitive to God. You're going to be more sensitive to His voice. Isn't that what we want? Well, I've never done that, Pastor. Well, this is your year. Well, I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is your year. I've never prayed for an hour before. This is your year. I've never asked God to interpret back what I'm praying about. This is your year. And I'm asking God to I want to get it right. I want this congregation to get it right. I want you to get it right. I want you to hear from heaven. I want you to get plans from heaven. I want you to get the steps from heaven. I want you to have light. And I'm tired of people just doing the same old thing and coming into my office saying the same old thing, wanting the same. I'll do it. I do it all the time. I pray for you. I give you my best prayer. But it does get old the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time that I'm doing that. I'll do it the 10th. I love you. I'll keep on doing it. But there's a better way. There's a better way for us. There's a better way in 2017. He's got amazing plans for you. I'll tell you, one of the things that I was praying about tonight, I heard these words: wake up. Wake up. Just like that. Wake up. And I just spoke that out for some people that may be sitting here, maybe watching by live stream, and you've just been playing around, playing games, going through the motions, and the Spirit of God would say to you, wake up, stir yourself up, get in the game, stop playing around with sin. Just like that. So I just gave you what I got. I'm saying that to me. Wake up. Wake up. Let's be alive. Let's be excited about the things of God. Let's be sensitive to Him. Don't you want to see miracles? I want to see miracles happen. I want to see really the best is when it happens to you or through you. Seriously, I'd rather have it happen to you. But I mean, I want to see miracles happen because we're there. Because the people of Good News Church who are empowered to give life, miracles happen because you're there, because you got the life of God in you, the Holy Spirit in you. And when you show up on the scene, God shows up. He confirms His word with signs following. The greatest miracles are for this hour. But if we're dead, it's tough to have life out of a dead person. Got a great verse. Close it. That was pretty intense. You can just edit all that from live streaming later on. First Corinthians 2. This is really, really good. We're going to close here. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. Oh man, this is so good. Oh my goodness. This is good stuff. You ever had a really good meal? Susie made this amazing meal. It was around New Year's. Black-eyed peas and collards. What else was in that, Susie? I mean, I just mixed it all together. It was like the best thing. How about Tony's picture on Facebook today? Hash browns and eggs, man. I could just eat that iPad. Look at us. This is hash browns and eggs, man, cooked in that frying pan. But on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard. See, this is the Old Testament here. He's talking about the Old Testament, folks. This is from Isaiah right here. What eye has not seen, or ear has not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and keeps ready for. Will you see? His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. Who can really know? God's ways are a mystery. Is this the right verse? For those who love Him, who have hold Him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying Him, gratefully recognizing the benefits He has bestowed. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through His Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden and beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessings so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. Let's stand, everybody. The revealer is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to answer all your questions. He wants to give you answers for other people. Why not us? Maybe some inventors here. He knows business?
Yes.
Good gracious, Eddie.
Yes, he does.
He knows about marriages. He knows about raising kids. The revealer is in the inside of us, wanting to show us things. But let's just make a decision. We're going to open our hearts to hear. Just talk to Him right now. Oh, thank You, Father. Thank you, the Holy Spirit's in me. Spirit of truth is on the inside of me, revealing, showing things to come. The very mysteries, the secrets of God, things hidden throughout all history, He wants to reveal it to us. Father, I pray for the people here today. They may open up their hearts to hear. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. The revealer is on the inside of us. Glory to God. We're going to close the service, but if there's anybody here that wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we'll be up here. If you want to receive that tonight, we'll pray with you. If you have any other prayer requests, or we'll be here. We love you. We're for you. Excited for you. I just want to encourage you, if you can, get in these prayer times. Let's get involved. We'll teach you how to pray. We'll help. We're not going to judge anybody. We'll help you. You can learn. You can be skilled in these things. All of us, we have to learn, grow in these things. Father, in the name of Jesus, blessings upon these folks that are here tonight. Blessings upon every area of their lives. Lord, I pray that they have a vision and a purpose for their lives. You're revealing that to them, and that they're walking in it. They have understanding of those things, Father, and walking it out step by step. This is their year. Best year so far. Moving forward, bearing fruit for the kingdom. Thank you for it, Father. Jesus' name, amen.